The following audio is from First Hamilton Christian Reformed Church, where our vision is to be transformed by the gospel so that we can participate with God in his work of renewing all things in Christ. For more information about First Hamilton, visit www.firsthamilton.ca.
So last week we began a series of sermons that is going to carry us through the summer. And we'll be following the Israelites as they make their way out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, and into this new life of freedom. And we're studying the Exodus because, believe it or not, there are a lot of similarities in the Exodus journey that the Israelites went on many, many years ago and our journey here today. We just have told, it's a little while ago now, but we're coming out of the season of Easter, where we told the story of how we are set free, not from slavery to the Egyptians, but how Christ has set us free from our slavery to sin. And in the same way that the Israelites are learning about how they're living in this new life of freedom in the presence of God, and that's going to be a theme that we're going to hear over and over again, right? That we saw last week with the pillar of cloud and fire, this presence of God that descended upon the people. Just as the Israelites are learning how to live in the freedom of that, we are living in the freedom of Pentecost. How God's Holy Spirit has come to dwell not in front of us or behind us, but within us. Right? And how ought we to grow and learn about God's presence and Spirit in us? And therefore, in the Exodus and through the Exodus, we learn a great deal about the freedom that we have in Christ, the freedom that we have in the presence of God, and the freedom that we have in this world. And so we're going to be tracking the Israelites and learning about this freedom in the same way that they did. And the first stop along the way is how Israel is freed from their fear. What do I mean by fear? Well, fear is an emotion. It's an emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, is likely to cause pain, or is a threat. Everyone has experienced fear before. I was reading this week of one person that said, the moment that we are born is the moment that we experience fear. And if you've had the opportunity of being present in the room where a baby is born, you know that the first thing that a baby does when they're born is start crying. Why? Crying is an emotion, and then that they're responding to this fear that their environment is changing, right? The baby is saying, why is it so cold? Why is it so dry? Why is it so bright? Why is somebody shoving their hand down my throat, right? And they're responding to that. There's this fear. Fear is an emotion, right? And it's an emotion that is caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or is a threat. And there is a connection between freedom and fear. Soren Kierkegaard called fear the dizziness of freedom. And I find that fascinating. And I think what he's trying to get at is that when you live in freedom, when you experience freedom, you will inevitably experience fear along with that. Because with freedom comes an openness to experiencing danger or pain or a threat. And so I want to show you a clip now that will illustrate how prevalent this is. I've enlisted some help from some vegetables. This may be a callback to childhood for some of you, but let's listen to Junior the asparagus as he experiences fear.
Why? How could you guys help me? I mean, if I was scared.
Oh, we were just gonna sing you a little song, that's all. But since you weren't even scared, I guess we'll just be on our way.
Yep, see you later.
No, wait! I guess maybe a little song might be nice. Well, since you're in the neighborhood.
Well, if you weren't scared, then there's really no reason, so we'll just be going now.
Sing the song!
Okay, here goes.
You were lying in your bed,
You were feeling kind of sleepy, but you couldn't close your eyes because the room was getting creepy.
Were those eyeballs in the closet? Was that Godzilla in the hall?
There was something big and hairy casting shadows on the wall. Now your heart is beating like a drum. Your skin is getting clammy. There's 100 tiny monsters jumping right into your jammies.
What are you gonna do?
I'm going to call the police.
Junior the Asparagus was experiencing fear. Something is dangerous, something is a threat. He was afraid, right? If you are familiar with that VeggieTales, he had watched the scary movie and couldn't get the monsters that he thought were under his bed out of his head. And he was awake, he couldn't sleep. Now, it might not be monsters for you, but something keeps you up at 2 a.m. What are you afraid about? And what are you gonna do about it? So that's what I want to talk about today and to show you how this passage shows us how we can be freed from our fear with 3 points. First, the presence of fear. Second, the power of fear. And third, the glory of God. So when we move into the presence of fear, we meet up with the Israelites in this story after the Exodus, right? They're probably feeling pretty good about themselves. They've been set free from slavery in Egypt, and they've actually built up a lot of wealth as a result of that. They plundered the Egyptians on their way out. And so they're being led by God, right? So they're probably feeling pretty good about themselves. I mean, this pillar of cloud and fire before them, they've got the riches of Egypt, they're heading out with their God. And then something happens. One of the Israelites, and I wonder who was the first, it's got to be one person who first looked up, who first turned their head, turned around and saw a glitter of iron or steel in the distance, right? And looked up and saw that the Egyptians were marching after them. The power, the whole power of Egypt, I mean, it's just hearing what Pharaoh took along with him to chase the Israelites down. And so they turned around and they saw this army marching after them and immediately were filled with this fear and they were afraid. Everything was fine until it wasn't. Until it wasn't. And the presence of fear arrived with one look. Now it's the same for us. We go from life is great, everything's good, to the presence of fear. It pops up in one look. In one turn of the head, so to speak. I remember when Tracy and I were in the hospital, Tracy was in labor with Austin, and everything was going fine, at least from my end, everything was going fine. Tracy would have a different story to tell, but everything was going smooth, maybe that's a better. Everything was going smooth until one contraction and the Austin's heart rate started to drop, and the alarms started to go off, and the nurses came running into the hospital room. Everything was going smooth. Everything was fine until it wasn't. Until fear entered and we were afraid. Right? You've experienced this. Every one of you, you're all human in this room. You've experienced this before, where fear jumps out of nowhere and tackles you when you least expect it. Because fear is a natural consequence of our life of freedom. The Bible knows this too. Time and time again, in the pages of the Bible, we hear the refrain, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, over 100 times from start to finish. Because fear is a natural consequence, the presence of fear. The Psalms, the prayer book of the Bible, are filled with songs about overcoming fear because it is a natural consequence of our life of freedom. Have you recognized the presence of freedom in your life? Chances are it won't be because you turned around and saw chariots, but instead, maybe it's the results of a biopsy, or the fear of your children falling off the rails, or your job being cut, Or you're in high school and you're afraid of the world that you're growing up into. What's it going to be like in 5 years, 10 years? Jan Martel, who is the author of Life of Pi, and he writes in that book, he says, life's only true opponent is fear. It's interesting. And like Bob the Tomato says to Junior the Asparagus, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Fear is present. What are you going to do about it? Well, let's keep moving. Let's look at the power of fear. You know, fear is present in our lives and holds a lot of power over us. And this is because our fear is always pointing to something deeper. And here's what I mean by this. So when Israel saw the chariots, they say, interestingly enough, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Now, what's going on here? Now, listen carefully. They were not afraid of the Egyptian chariots. They were afraid of what the Egyptian chariots meant. They were really afraid to die. They were really afraid of losing control of the situation. They were really afraid of facing the loss of control. In that moment, they didn't trust God, and we'll get into that later, but instead, what do they do? They turn back to Egypt. And they say, it would be better for us to just go back to being slaves. To just go to a place where at least we have security. You know, it might be tough work, but at least we have security. We know we're not going to get attacked. At least we know where our next meal is coming from, that someone's going to feed us. You know, I may have shared this story before about my first year in university. I tried out for the hockey team. And tryouts for the hockey team were on Monday. And I had gone home that weekend to get my skates sharpened. And then we were driving back on Sunday night. And we were coming into Hamilton, going around on the QEW by Coots Paradise, and I had this sudden realization. I forgot my hockey skates. Oh no, what am I going to do? The tryouts were the next morning, and it was, you know, an hour and 45 minutes back to Barrie. We weren't going to go back. So I was stuck, and I remember feeling so afraid in my mind. I had to make the hockey team. I wanted so badly to make the hockey team. The prospect of not making the hockey team was just, it filled me with fear. And looking back, it wasn't because I wanted to be on the team because it's fun to play hockey. I mean, that was a part of it. But largely, it was because for me, hockey, in my high school years, had become a part of my identity. It had become who I was, a big part of who I was. Hockey was my life. And so I recognized that the fear was not making the hockey team. The fear was something deeper. The fear was losing something that was a part of who I was. How am I going to make friends if I don't have hockey? How am I going to know who I am if I don't have hockey? I was losing that. And so I became scared. For Israel, it wasn't the fear of the chariots that was the most powerful thing in their life. It was what was underneath that was so powerful, that losing control, that facing death. Now, we all have fear present in our lives, but do you know the power of what is underneath the fear? Follow the rabbit trail, right? Ask those questions. You know, for you, maybe it's not hockey, but maybe it's academics or your reputation. Or your friends and your social circles, or your family and your kids. What keeps you up at 2 a.m.? And then follow that up with a question, why? What's going on underneath the surface? Because that is where the power of fear is at play. It's not the chariots, it's something more. It's not the hockey team, it's something more. And it's what's underneath our fear that is so powerful and we have to deal with. We have to keep it at bay. We have to keep that fear away. Hockey was a cover for something that was underneath the surface going on with my identity. And like a whack-a-mole game, or you know those games at the carnival where you whack it down and it pops up somewhere else and you have to keep constantly whacking it and whacking it and whacking it, we constantly will be trying to whack down the fear in our lives So when I forgot my skates, I whacked down the fear of losing my identity by calling my older brother, who was a student at Fanshawe at the time in London, and having him drive, meet us halfway, bringing his skates, which are three sizes too small, stuffing my feet into small skates, and taking some Advil to numb the pain, and then trying out for the hockey team the next morning. Why? Because fearful people do crazy things. Right? Israel says, it is better for us to be slaves than to face, even though they knew that God was with them, than to face the fear of the Egyptian chariots, the fear of that losing control and facing death. Like a whack-a-mole game, we will be trying to do the same thing in two ways. So first way that we try to whack down fear in our lives is that we face it head on. Okay, let's fight it. Right? Let's keep the fear at bay by staying above it, by keeping up with it. So this is me figuring out a way, calling my brother, getting the skates, making the team. All right, now I can keep that fear and anxiety at bay. Or this is earning enough money in your career so that you can keep away that anxiety that you won't have enough, that you won't have enough. Or making yourself appear more beautiful, constantly being on the front end of fashion so you can keep at bay the fear that you're not beautiful. Or surrounding yourself with more friends to keep away the fear of being alone, or to read more, to make yourself smarter so that you can keep away the fear that you're stupid. What is it? We fight fear head on by trying to stay above it and whacking it down. Now, that's the first way. The second way is to do the opposite. The second way to deal with the fear in our life, the power of fear, is to insulate ourselves from it. Now, I know I've shared this with you before, but it's been a few months. There's an NPR tweet during the first few days of the crisis and war in Ukraine where they said, essentially to the American public, they said, if you are feeling fearful and overwhelmed at what's going on in Ukraine and the news cycle, it's okay to take a step back, to just shut everything off, and to ignore it and pretend like life is okay. Right? And what they're trying to say, what they're saying in there is insulate yourself from the fear. Don't try to face it head on. Don't try to stay above it, but totally back off. To which many of the Ukrainian people responded poorly, saying, well, you can insulate yourself from that fear, but we can't. Right? This is the let's go back to serving in Egypt. It's better than dying out here in the wilderness. We can insulate ourselves from this fear of losing control by just going along with making bricks. We'll just make bricks. But the problem with both of these ways of dealing with the power of fear is that it actually doesn't destroy the fear. Like a whack-a-mole game, it will just keep popping up again. There will be a time when you won't be able to make yourself more beautiful to keep that fear at bay. There will be a time when you won't be the smartest person in the room. There will also be a time when you won't be able to insulate yourself from your fears. You can't get rid of the diabetes just because you pretend it doesn't exist. You can try all you want to insulate yourself from that, but it doesn't work. The chariots will eventually come. How then can we overcome the power of fear in our lives? We have to know the glory of God. And this is the third point. God says that he will gain glory for himself through Pharaoh. From verse 3, and then it's repeated later on. The Israelites are wandering around in the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So Israel did this. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is his weight, his significance, his power, his beauty, his magnificence, his overness. So I'll never forget the moment that I walked through Times Square in New York City at night for the first time, and that I was blown away by its glory. Right? It was so beyond and so above anything that I'd ever experienced before, with the lights and the sounds and the hustle and the bustle and the smells and everything that was going on. It was glorious to me. But it's nothing compared to the glory of God, the one who created the cosmos, the one who is above and before all things. Now, Israel fell into the power of fear because they forgot the glory of God. And we do too. God says, I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I'm the Lord. And so the Israelites did this, but they forgot. Right? They knew what was going to happen. God told Moses what was going to happen before it happened, and they still forgot. They failed to believe it. And yet God's glory was still on display. And how did that happen? Well, three things that I want to point out about God's glory in this text. First is that God's glory gets in between Israel and Egypt. The cloud moves from in front to in the middle and mediates, gets in between Israel, the people of God, and Egypt. God shields Israel. Second, God's glory makes a way where there was no way. The Lord, not Moses, drives back the sea. It's impossible. The impossible becomes possible. Right? It's a miracle, and Israel walks through the sea on dry land. And then thirdly, God's glory defeats the enemy. Israel walks through on dry land, and then God closes up the waters, and Egypt is swallowed up, and they're destroyed. But in the same way that Israel fell into the power of fear because they forgot the glory of God, we fall into the power of fear in our lives because we forget the glory of God too. And in the same way that God told Moses what was going to happen before it happened, God has told us before we experience our fear. Now, 2,000 years ago, God sent Jesus. And Jesus, like that pillar, gets in the way, gets in between us and what is underneath your fear, and says to you, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I've got you. I'm here for you. I'm fighting for you. I'm on your side. And then Jesus provides a way where there was no way. On the cross, he allows himself to be pierced for our transgressions. He took our sin upon himself, right? Meaning he takes all of our fears upon his shoulders and carries them for us so that we can walk across on dry land. And lastly, he defeats the worst enemy, sin and death itself, right? Sin and death is the real enemy here, and the empty tomb shows us that it has all been defeated, that Jesus wins. And so God's glory in the cross frees us from our fear today. We have to see the glory of God in Jesus. We have to trust the glory of God in Jesus and apply the benefits of the gospel to our lives. Now, I had to learn, it happened years later, that going back to that experience with my hockey skates, that our relationship with Christ provides a far deeper and far more durable and far better, far more joyful identity than hockey did. I had to learn that. That any identity rooted in hockey or something here and now will eventually crumble. And how did I learn that? I learned that through growing in my faith. I learned that through depending more and more on the glory of God that fights for me. What about you? What is underneath your fears? What keeps you up at 2 a.m.? Is it a scarcity mindset? Are you afraid of not being the smartest person in the room? Is it something else? What is it? You have to see the glory of God in your life and apply the gospel and the benefits of the gospel. So when the eyes of God, think about this, when the eyes of God are the ones that really matter, when you look at the cross and you see that look at what Christ did for me. Look at what he did for me. How beautiful he thinks that I am. No matter how I look on the outside, it doesn't matter. The two eyes in the pair of eyes in the world that matter the most think I am amazingly gorgeous. Then the presence of fear and the power of fear rooted in your own sense of beauty will begin to diminish. It'll begin to diminish. When we realize that God blesses us each with unique gifts that will have dignity and purpose, not just here and now, but for eternity in God's kingdom, then a specific IQ will be less important. And the presence and the power of that fear will begin to diminish. How do we come to trust and know the glory that overcomes fear, the glory of God? How do we apply the gospel? We have to grow in our faith. We have to deepen our trust. And it sounds simple, and maybe perhaps it is. Right? Read your Bible. Pray every day, and you will grow, grow, grow. Right? Invest in relationships with other Christians. Allow yourself to be discipled by somebody who is farther along in the spiritual journey than you. Who are you surrounding yourself with? It's a good start. And it starts small. I've begun to equate the spiritual journey to watching my children learn how to ride a bike. We do not, as parents, give our two-year-old a two-wheeled pedal bike and say, have at it, right? It's a process. It's a journey. It's a journey of trusting that when you put your feet on the pedals and pedal, that you will not fall over. And it's the same way in our spiritual journeys. We start on a tricycle. It gets converted to a balance bike, you know, those new ones that don't have any pedals on them. And then eventually, you know, we will grow and grow in our dependence and our trust and be able to bike more independently. We have to grow in this. Maybe you're still on your balance bike, but keep at it. Keep growing. Keep praying. Keep building up your relationship with God. And your dependence on Him and the trust that God's glory is real and true will begin to grow as well. And the presence of fear and the power of fear will begin to shrink. So we didn't get to this point in the VeggieTales song, but I'll end with this profound point from Bob the Tomato, who says to Junior, God is the biggest of all, and He's on your team. This is what Israel discovered and what we can discover through the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, You are the strength of our life. You are our rock, our fortress, our protector. Therefore, whom shall we be afraid? You are our shield, our strong tower, and our stronghold. We will call to You because You are worthy to be praised. So, Father, we thank You for being our strength and our God in whom we trust. Give us Your Spirit that we may be set free from our fear, what is underneath our fear, and grow in our awe and trust in Your perfect glory that casts out fear. Amen.